Now, let's look at the visions that Daniel had. Verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Now, you see, this takes us back to the first year of Belshazzar. Now, that's the time that he was given this vision, and that was during the time that the head of gold was ruling in the world. Daniel is puzzled. How does this fit in with God's plan and purpose with the line of David and the establishing of God's kingdom upon the earth? Daniel can't, at this time, he can't understand why there must be four kingdoms. Well, he's going to be given a great deal more detail now. And this is in the first year of Belshazzar. And that was toward the end of the time of the head of gold. Now, not only that, but these visions suggest that the first three beasts that are given, they were in the first vision, and the second vision concerned the fourth beast only, and the third vision was the scene in heaven that is given to him. So that there are actually three visions that we have here. We're also told in this first verse that he wrote the dream. Daniel was engaged in writing during this time. Now, verse 2, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, the four winds that apparently broke violently upon the sea, and that's the Mediterranean Sea, for that's the word given to it. And the winds, of course, that speaks of agitation, propaganda, public opinion, and disturbance. And the sea suggests the masses, the mob, and the peoples of the Gentiles. Now, you find that in the 13th chapter of Matthew, Revelation 13:1, that beast came up out of the sea, and Isaiah has it in Isaiah 57:20. Let me just read Revelation 17, verse 1, and then 15. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, talk with me, saying to me, come hither, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters, that is, upon the Gentile nations. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. You see, it's this conglomerate population of Gentiles throughout the world. Now, customarily, the wind blows from only one direction at a time. But here it's a tornado of great violence with the wind coming from all directions. Now, it refers not only to the disturbed conditions out of which these four nations arose, but particularly to the last stage of the fourth kingdom. And we'll see that when we get to it. And that is probably where we are today. We are very close, apparently, to the time when the Roman Empire will be brought back together again. It still exists. It lives in Italy, France, Germany, Spain, all the nations there of Europe that were in the Roman Empire. And all it needs is somebody to put it back together again. We apparently are near that period. How near? I do not think we even ought to speculate about it. And now we find here that these nations now are going to be brought back together. And we find with all of their different ideologies and forms of government and viewpoints, why they're going to be brought together. And I think we ought to call attention to the deadly parallel of the circumstances herein stated with our modern world situation. And that's the reason I say that apparently we're drawing toward the end of the age. Now, the entire continents are awakening today, and they're all demanding a place in the sun. People who have had a primitive civilization for centuries have been suddenly catapulted into the jet age. Radios and missiles have changed the thinking of the masses. New ideologies have captured their minds, And our disturbed world is desperately trying to avoid World War III right now. I wonder if you've discovered today, friend, as you listen to radio and look at TV, that you're being brainwashed. All kinds of propaganda is being given to us today. I don't mind confessing, this program, I'm geared to giving out propaganda. You know what that propaganda is? The Word of God. And I wish I could brainwash every one of you and make you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm engaged in that. And every person, radio and TV, is brainwashing us. We hear today so much about, I was very much amused where I was speaking in a church. And they had the youth choir sing one night. You've always got to have that these days. They weren't very good. The boy leading them was a real hippie. He had on the dirtiest pair of pants I think I've seen. If he'd taken them off, they would have stood up just like he was in them. And he had on a dirty sweater, and he had shaggy hair. And he said they were going to sing a number that shows that young people have freedom. He was an affable, roly-poly, fat boy. And I was talking to him afterward, and I said, you mentioned the fact that you're free today. I said, I judge that freedom manifests itself in your dress. Oh, yes, he said. I said, you know, it's interesting to me that I've been all the way across this country. I've been into Canada. I've been down to Florida. I've been in New England. I've been up in the Northwest. And I've been to Europe. And I've been to South America. And I said, let me say this to you. Did you know that everywhere I've been that there are young people that are dressed just like you? I said, what kind of freedom is that when all of you dress alike? Why doesn't one of you get your hair cut, get cleaned up, be different? And I said, you would be different if you did. I said, that would be freedom. You have no freedom. You have to show it by dressing like you did. And if you didn't, you wouldn't be accepted. You know, it's interesting. He's been brainwashed. He's been made to believe that if you have long hair, that that means freedom. And if you wear dirty pants, that means you got freedom. All I could see is it means you just got long, straggly, ugly-looking hair, and all you've got is a pair of dirty pants and no freedom in the pants whatsoever. We are living in a day when brainwashing is taking place. The masses are disturbed, and they're being fed propaganda. The little horn of this chapter we're going to see is going to succeed in view of the fact that he has a mouth speaking great things. He's going to sell himself to the world when he appears. He'll be Satan's man. The Lord Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. You've rejected me. You've not received me. But if one comes in his own name, you will receive him. And today, humanism is glorifying mankind everywhere. They glorify public officials, how wonderful they are. They are glorifying the movie world, actors. They glorify each other, of course. And they've got control of the medium, and they have made the theater today respectable, whereas the theater was what brought in gross immorality into the Greek world. Many of the Greek writers made it clear that the theater corrupted the morals of the Greeks. That's happening today. You're being brainwashed, friends. When I listen to some of these young people talk about their freedom and they go down a certain line and hand out a certain line, my friend, that's no freedom at all. You've just got a bunch of brainwashed people. And I tell you very candidly, I think we'd be better off if we got brainwashed with the Word of God. This is a frightful picture that's presented here, this disturbed scene that he talks about. Now, I think I ought to call attention to that parallel here with present circumstances. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying what we see today is the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm just saying the wind's beginning to blow. That's all. It may be a pretty long storm.